Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed. And we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all heart, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
And welcome to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary,
I'm your host tonight. And tonight, oh, I'm sorry, if you're new here, if you're just not tuned, I want to thank everybody who's tuned in. But if you're new here and you're just not tuned in, this is this show here on Block Talk Radio is on every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. All right? And if you're new here, we also archive all of our shows. And so if you're watching this one, then if you're listening to this one, then if you scroll down our page, you will see all of our on-demand previous presentations. And it's quite a few of them. Just pick them by topic. We hit every topic. That's the next thing. The next thing is if you're new here, Revolutionary Life is where we view things that affect our lives, directly and indirectly, every day. The only difference is we address these things from a revolutionary point of view. Oh, yeah. And revolution is just change, baby. The revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard of that change. You know, when you ride the wave, when you're on the front of the change, you might have something to say about what it looks like, how it shapes. If you're on the ass end of change, you won't have much to say about anything. We try to keep our fingers on the pulse around here. And tonight, we're talking about Jerusalem. Jerusalem. And we're going to take you back tonight, because what's happening in Jerusalem right now, you should know if you don't, is historic. We're living history. You're watching history right now. You're watching a history that has repeated itself for a thousand years. Guys. And we're going to talk about what's going on today, yeah, with the clash between the Palestinians and the Israelis. But I want to tell you about that history. And I want to tell you how this stuff got started and how it's never going to stop until there's change. Revolution. And I'll be right back, guys. I'm going to give you a little music, and then we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty on this subject. And you tell me what you think. Yeah, you tell me what you think, because this is a call-in show. That's right. At a certain point, I am going to announce call-in section, at which point I'm going to give out that phone number. And if you call me, you go right onto the air. Everybody hears what you have to say. Everybody hears my response. Also, I'm going to open up my chat room. So if you have something to say, you'd like to type it in the chat, no problem. I'll get right back. I'm going to be watching that chat, and I'll try to respond to you in the chat. All right. Jerusalem is the title. What's really going on? What's really going on? I'll be right back. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. Welcome, everyone who's listening in tonight. Tonight on Revolutionary Life, the title of our presentation tonight, the program tonight, the episode tonight, is Jerusalem. What's really going on? In case you don't know, in case it got past you, there's a clash going on right now between Palestinians and the nation of Israel, the government of Israel. I put this presentation together, guys, because I wanted to make sure that everybody understood what's going on with Israel. Now, I did a presentation before on this, guys. You can go back to my on-demand section. If you want to get into the weeds a little bit, you can go back to my on-demand section where I did a presentation on Jerusalem when our past ex-president, Donald J. Trump, allowed for Jerusalem to have the United States Embassy to Israel placed in Jerusalem. When Donald Trump allowed the United States Embassy to be placed in Jerusalem as though it was the capital, as though it was the property only of Israel, and if you don't know that history, you don't understand why I'm bringing that up. But I did a whole presentation on that back when this happened, when this first happened, when the U.S. Embassy was allowed to be put in the city of Jerusalem. Could have been put anywhere in Israel. Could have been put in Tel Aviv. Could have been put on Rothschild Boulevard in Tel Aviv, one of the most expensive boulevards in the world. But it wasn't. It was placed in Jerusalem. Now, I'm going to tell you right now that whoever does that, and your ex-president did, is either a fool or a charlatan, i.e., somebody who's ignorant or somebody who wants you to be ignorant. It doesn't matter which one it was, which the motivation was, out of ignorance of history, or somebody who thought you were ignorant of history. I don't know which one it was. Either way, what's going on right now is a result of that, is a legacy of that ex-president who made the decision to put the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, regardless of history. And what history am I talking about? What history am I talking about, guys? What I mean is, whatever I mean by your ex-president ignored history when he did that. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If I wanted to start a war, if I want to incite unrest in between the Palestinians, or the Arab world, the Muslim world, I'm sorry, among the Muslim world and the Jewish world, if I wanted to keep that fire going, yeah, I would have put the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem because I know what the results would have been. You're looking at it. You're watching it on TV. If I didn't, if I wanted peace in that area, there's no way I would have put the United States Embassy in Jerusalem. No way. And I'll tell you why. We're going to go into that history. I want you to know this, if you don't. And you tell me. Like I said, this is a call-in show. We're not taking call-ins right now. I'm going to announce that call-in period. And I'm going to open up my chat room. So anyone who wants to respond to what I'm saying, you have a chat room to respond, and I'll respond to your chat. And you'll have a phone number where you can call, and everybody will hear what you have to say. Everybody will hear my response. I'm going to give you a little music. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary, your host tonight. And our topic tonight is Jerusalem. What's really going on? Full title. What's really going on? And I told you before I left here just now that whoever put the capital, whoever put the embassy of the United States of America in the city of Jerusalem is a fool or a charlatan. Is either ignorant or want you to be. And I'll tell you why I said that. And I told you who did that. Right? Your ex-president. Check this out, guys. There's a presentation I've done, and you can go to my on-demand section to get in the weeds, but there's a presentation that I did called War, Conquest, and Enslavement. Now, that presentation just takes you down through what I was taught in school were the great civilizations of Western Europe. From Greece to Rome to Great Britain to America, we went. And we followed this methodology, this three-step movement for building great civilizations. And them three steps which exists to this day, is war, which we have been in since I was a child. Some war we have been in since I was a child. So we're talking decades of war. Conquest. Taking over other people's property. And once you get there, colonizing them. And part of conquest is making them speak your language and accept your religion, your culture. I told you that most of the Catholics in Europe, their origin, their introduction to Catholicism, that is arrived in their country on the tips of Roman swords and spears. The Latin tongue, the Romantic languages, the Latin-based languages arrived in Europe of Roman swords. When I was told that Caesar and Rome was a great society in my school, I don't know about yours, but they did it through war, conquest, and enslavement. That's a methodology for building great civilizations. That's how you get more property, resources, and when you add enslavement, you get free labor. You get people as a resource. That process rolls on to this day. When America was established, when the United States of America was established, it was established the same way. There was a revolutionary war, a civil war, a Spanish-American war, a Mexican-American war, a Native American, or what they call the Indian Wars. You remember Buffalo Bill? Buffalo Bill was considered a great Indian fighter. War, conquest, and enslavement reached these shores and built this nation. It ain't stopped. That's how I was taught. Western European civil, Greece was a slave society. Western European history goes all the way back to Greece. Alexander the Great was known for conquering the known world. I had to look that up as a child. I didn't know what conquering was. I didn't know it meant taking property, land, resources, and people for your country. I didn't know what colonizing was when I heard that the sun never set on the British Empire. But as I got older, I found out that colonization was the same thing. You rode into somebody's country, you put war against those who resisted, you enculturated those people into your culture, that's called conquest. They speak your language, they accept your religion, your ideology, your culture, and they enslave those people. And it made Britain great. It made Britain so great that they used to say the sun never set on the British Empire. That's because wherever the sun was shining, Great Britain was up in there, owned some of that, was running things there, extracting people and resources to make Great Britain great, the British Empire. I had to learn about how these empires were built. And then I was surprised that I was to call Alexander the Great great, or Caesar of Rome great, or our founding fathers great. War is how they do it. Conquest is how they do it. And enslavement is how they take more land, more property, and more resources. Now, you can go back and look at that presentation. Well, you can get on down to the weeds and you can see what I'm saying, what I've learned about our Western European history, what they taught me in public school. Now, Jerusalem, guys, goes all the way back to that. I can take you to all the way back to Egypt. That's right. The Egyptians had another name, a similar name, actually, for that landmass, for that place called that area that's now called Jerusalem. because it was Egypt at one time. But now, after that, these wars I was telling you about earlier of conquest took the shape of the Holy Crusades. Where Jerusalem is concerned, there must have been 6 wars called crusades and called holy. My goodness. The number of lives lost, people slaughtered. 6, at least 6 that I can think of, crusades. And you know what most of these crusades were about? You know why they were called holy? And I guarantee you, baby, there was nothing holy about this. This was a land grab. This is about real estate, property, and resources. Always has been. Roman style. The Crusades, many of them were directly about Jerusalem, guys. We're talking about thousands of years ago, man. There have been fighting going on about who runs Jerusalem. Jerusalem was wealthy at one point. It is today. It brought in travelers, caravans. In the old days, all kinds of merchants and stuff traveled through Jerusalem to Jerusalem, and not to mention the religious part. Now, I'm trying to separate the religious part, guys, because I don't want you to get lost. This presentation is not going to be about. We're going to hit on it. We got to, but it's not about religion. None of this is about religion. War is about. Conquest is what it's about. And enslavement is what it's about. It's always been what it's about. Taking property. In fact, in the news today, I heard an Israeli official said that this was a real estate, literally said that this was a real estate dispute. Why, how did it become a real estate dispute? I thought it had something to do with religions and cultures and peoples. No, it didn't. The man told the truth. That's exactly what this is. Don't dispute that man. When you hear this Israeli official says this is not about this or that, this is just a simple real estate dispute. Land, guys. That's what it's about. And the man's right. That's what it's always been about. Since the days of Saladin. Now, I don't even know if you know who Saladin was, but he was a leader of an Arab army. And he was an Arab. I guess you might call him Arab. But he was Kurdish. And I need to do a whole thing on what happened to them people. But a Kurdish leader led the Arab army, became famous, and his name was Saladin. And Saladin is known for these big wars, a couple of these big wars against the Crusaders. Guys, everybody in that period of time were carrying out these 3 processes, war, conquest, and enslavement. Everybody, the French, the Spanish, all of them, Europe, everybody had an army, everybody had an army on the ground, and everybody was taking property. Everybody was trying to follow up on the Roman Empire, everybody. You don't hear me. You got to listen to my other presentation. When I said that most of Europe speaks Latin and our Catholics, they were introduced to that at the tips of Roman swords. That's called conquest. Right? And so Saladin, the Arab army, the leader of the Arab army, ran up against another famous figure, Richard the Lionheart. Richard the Lionheart led one of these great crusades, and it was all about taking back Jerusalem, this rich city, from the Arabs, because the Arabs kicked them out, and then they kicked the Arabs out. And then they came back, and the Arabs kicked them out. And then they came back, and they, you know, it's been back and forth, guys, from history. Anybody who knows that history knows that Jerusalem is a hot potato. Only a fool or a charlatan, only somebody who's ignorant, I want you to be, would incite that fight again, and it's starting. Who would incite that fight again? Of all the lives that were lost in these crusades back and forth to take Jerusalem, in the 1900s, the middle 19, late 1900s, middle 1900s, late 19, late 1900s. Jerusalem was an open city. And that's where the religion came in, for sure. It was open because they wanted to quit killing each other, so they could fight on other fronts. They were still out there taking property. The Arabs were still out there taking property and from other people, taking other people's lands and resources to make their nations great. The Arabs was practicing it just like the Europeans were practicing it, just like the Mongols were practicing it. Karl Marx called it a time of savagery and barbarism. Savagery and barbarism. And it's going on now, because the same process is in effect. This is about real estate. Just like this Israeli official, I didn't say it, he said it, but I amen that, because it's always been about, since the days of Saladin, since the days of the Holy Crusades, it was about property. Jerusalem was rich. It was a center of trade. People came from all over with goods and services and money. Not only that, it was a pilgrimage spot for religious people, the Arabs, the Muslims, I'm sorry. I want to separate those two. Don't get it twisted. The Muslim religion has a holy place in Jerusalem. You saw them shooting tear gas in the El Assad mosque, inside of a church, inside of a holy place, inside of a mosque, a Muslim mosque. You saw soldiers with guns running through a Muslim mosque the other day on TV. That was a holy place for the Muslims. It's the Dome of the Rock. It's a holy place for the Christians, where Jesus ascended. It's a holy place for the Jews. So three religions, all three of them, by the way, and I need to do a presentation on that. We don't have time, but all three of them are referred to as Judeo-Christian. Whenever you hear the term Judeo-Christian religions, they are talking, the major three are Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. They all three are known as Judeo-Christian. You know why? Because they have the same patriarchs. Abraham, for instance. In fact, the Muslims call Christians and Jews people of the book. What book? the Holy Bible. So, and I'll get into that in another presentation, guys, but there ain't much difference in these religions, man. And I'll tell you, in that other presentation, I'll tell you the similarities and the connections. And so it's interesting that it could possibly be about religion. Three religions are hooked together under the same patriarchs. They call themselves the people of the book. All three, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. They have so much in common, guys, and their histories are in common. It's hard to believe this has anything to do with religion. Don't get it twisted. This Israeli official came on the other day and said, this is about real estate. Real estate. And he was right. Always been about real estate. It's always been about property. Now we're going to get into it a little bit more. We're done with religion. I want you to look at my other presentations if you want to understand what a Judeo-Christian religion looks like at its core, to see the closeness, the similarities there, and how they could be fighting each other to death. Is ridiculous. If you read that, if you check that other presentation out, or if you know that history. So it ain't about religion. Religion has been used. So you can reach into your, if you want to start a war and you need people to go fight and die, you got to tell them more than we're just going to take some property. I mean, in the old days you could. In the days of Alexander the Great in Rome, you could tell them we're going to take property because they got paid. Many of them got paid by what they could take. So if you rape the women of the country that you conquer, if you're allowed to rape the women and steal and carry away as much jewels and gold or whatever you can find, that's booty. You can, and so that's how you got paid as a crusader in that army. But there were millions, there were thousands who participated in these crusades, and many of them were driven, called to religion. And like I said, didn't have anything to do with religion. You can reach in a bag if you want to start a war, and there's a lot of tools in that bag. You can start a war, and you can call on people to come fight that war based on nations. Our nation against that nation, our flag against that flag. You can call people to war based on race. But they reached down in that bag and they pulled up religion and called people to war. They didn't say we finna go take some property and some land. They said we're going to take back the Holy Land. It belongs to us. Even though all three religions in that city of Jerusalem have their holy places and have had them for thousands of years, thousands. What you're seeing right now is history. You know what sparked it. I told you that. Our ex-president's move to put the embassy there got it going again, set that fire one more time. And we're watching history repeat itself. Now, you don't think that's true. Wait till I come back. I'm going to give you a little news. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. We're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And tonight here on Revolutionary Life, we're dealing with the question of Jerusalem. Our title says, Jerusalem, what's really going on? And I told you before I left here that this has nothing to do with religion. In fact, one Israeli official announced the other day that this was all about real estate. What's going on right now today, all this conflict between the Palestinians, this clash going on. He said, no, no, don't get it wrong. It's all about, it's just a real estate dispute. Land dispute. Well, that's all what it's always been. The American embassy has been purposely held away from Jerusalem. Why wasn't it in Tel Aviv? The American industry was purposely not put in Jerusalem. I'll tell you why. President after president of the United States could have done that. You could build an embassy in Israel, probably wherever you wanted. But president after president refused to put that embassy in Jerusalem. People who know that history, that volatile history, them holy wars over and over again, guys, lives lost, fighting over this city. Anybody who knows that history would hesitate to do such a thing because it makes Jerusalem solely the property of Israel, and they can open it up and close it when they get ready. Regardless of other religions and other pilgrimages and the like. In fact, this happened during Ramadan, pyramids and a holy day for the Muslims. Well, I told you, back in the turn of the century, guys, in the 1900s, guys, late 1900s, after World War II, the Rothschilds. You've heard of the family, the Rothschilds. Rich Jewish family, the Rothschilds. The Red Shield. The Rothschilds. Well, the Rothschilds owned that land you call Israel. Still do. There's a Rothschild Boulevard, a Rothschild Street. Tel Aviv, the capital of Israel. The Rothschild family graciously, I guess you could say, offered this land up as a place for Jews who were immigrating from Western Europe. You remember World War II and the Jews and the Germans? Oh, yeah. So the Jews got their hat. They got up. They had to leave. And they didn't want to go back, of course. And there was a question about where are they going to go. And the Rothschild says, hey, we got a piece of property down here. They can set up Israel on this part, this country, this piece of land that we own. And they did. It was called the Balfour Treaty, B-E-L-F-O-W-R. I'll check that out, guys. Balfour, look it up. It was called the Balfour Treaty. They gave Israel, they gave the Jews a place to be. Well, hopefully they could live their lives in peace and practice their religions in peace, etc. And be in a land that is mentioned in their Bible, in their Torah, in their religious scriptures. However, it's also mentioned in the Arab and the Muslim religious scriptures. It's also mentioned in the Christian religious scriptures. But it was given to the Jews. And that piece of land came into dispute to cause a six-day war between the Arab countries and Israel. Why did they go to war? They didn't want the Jews there. Anti-Jewish, anti-Israel. No, I told you. That's something called Judeo-Christian religions. They got more in common than they have differences. Jerusalem is one of those things. Jerusalem is one of those things. Jerusalem is one place where Jews, Christians, and Muslims have in common. They have more in common, guys, and you got to go back and look at my older presentation, than they have differences. So this ain't about religion. I hope you get that through your head. Because many people died in the Holy Wars for Jerusalem based on religion. They were told to suit up and join a fight for religion. It wasn't about religion. But that's how you recruit. You couldn't tell them we're going to go take this property. Oh, no, 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 no. A lot of people wouldn't have gone, maybe. But if you told them God told you, or if you told them this was holy and that the Holy Roman Empire backed it 100%, the Holy Roman Empire would pay for your swords and your horses and your armor and your spears and your bows. Because most of these warriors were too poor to afford all that equipment themselves. It had to be provided to them. They didn't have all armor and swords and horses and stuff ready to go to war. They were farmers and whatnot. But they were called to war. And many farmers left their families. Many villagers left their families because they were called to war by the Holy Roman Empire, by their religion. And they died. They died in the thousands, man. On both sides. Six crusades, baby. So Jerusalem became an open city so the wars would stop. Anybody could come. The Muslims can come and worship. The Christians could come and worship. The Jews can come and worship. It couldn't be owned by anybody, controlled by any one of them. That would start a war again. What do we see going on today? What do we see going on today? When you look at what's going on today, guys, I just want you to think. Don't fall into your religious bag, because that's just one of the tools in the bag to call people who wouldn't ordinarily be fighting wars to join an army you need to take some property. You can say this is a nationalist fight, our nation against their nation. That's a tool. You could start a racial fight, our color against their color. But they pulled the religious tool out. And so people went to war. Unbeknownst to many of them, it was just about taking property. Conquest and enslavement is methodology for building great civilizations in the Western European world. At least that's what I was taught in public school. The great men of the history of European civilizations led wars, conquered people and nations, took their resources and took them and enslaved them, and they became great. Caesar of Rome, slave society. Greece, slave society. This is a methodology that you see acting out now. That six-day war I was talking about, guys, that war happens because Israel didn't just stay on the land. The country of Israel didn't just stay on the land that they were given. They started to build settlements outside of the land that they were given, encroaching on land that historically were Palestinian lands, or what's called a Palestinian people, what they call the Palestinian people. And I say so what they call, but I'll get into that. But when they start to encroach on the Palestinian land, you had wars. You had your Yasser Arafats. You had your PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Army, your PLA. You had your Hamas. You had your Hezbollah, the Army of God. Yeah, you want to start some stuff? Start messing with Jerusalem. That'll get something going. And I told you, if you know that history, you would put the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem only if you are ignorant or you think we are. I told you that no U.S. president would put our embassy in Jerusalem. Everybody refused to do it until our last one. Why did they refuse to do it? They wanted peace. It was a peace prize, better than the Nobel Peace Prize. Jerusalem was a peace prize. We'll put our embassy in Jerusalem when y'all work this stuff out. There's nothing left now but the Gaza Strip, and you want that too. So because of the West Bank, because of Israel spread itself over to the West Bank and start building new settlements and inviting Jews from all over the world, a religious call, by the way. Most Jews in America and places lived in places where they were persecuted. They didn't have to go anywhere, but they were called, and many went. And I'll get into that part because I'd like to talk, because there were Jews from all over the world who answered that call. And some of them were dark-skinned. And I'll tell you what happened to them when they got to Israel. They were Jews. They had been Jews before there was a European Jew, before there was a Europe. These black Jews, Falash Jews, were practicing Judaism. However, we'll do that another time. Every president and the world decided that we would never put our embassy in Jerusalem because there are other countries that got embassies in Israel. Why didn't they put their embassies in Jerusalem? Why ain't the German embassy? Why ain't the British embassy in Jerusalem? The United States says, no, we're going to hold that back until you guys square this stuff away. Until you decide to live in peace or to develop two lands, borders not to be crossed, in other words. You decide two lands, then you know when you open somebody else's property. Ain't no dispute about it. Ain't no real estate dispute. You got a border. This is their land. This is yours. That's a border. Until that border is fixed, two lands. The encroachment on Jewish land continues. And now, we decided in our last administration to go ahead on and do that. And so what you're looking at today is nothing new. It's saying that you never dealt with this question. And just sticking our embassy in Jerusalem will not solve the question. It might bring it to a head, baby, because there might be another holy war. They might convince some of y'all that this is about religion and y'all want to go to war, or y'all want to support one side of one religion against another. This ain't about religion, baby. It never have been. Come on now. You guys have more in common. I said this already, but you guys got more in common than y'all got differences. I'll do it again if I have to, but I got a whole presentation on the Judeo-Christian religion, and Lord have mercy. Starting with Abraham, you got the same patriarchs. Many of the same practices. And Jerusalem is an example that you have some of the same holy places. This ain't about religion, baby. Never have been. So this is about land, guys. This is about positioning land. This is about good land. This is about new settlements. This is about bringing in new people, stretching out and expanding. And the Palestinians are fighting that expansion. Caused the Six-Day War, the whole West Bank thing, caused the Arab world and the Israeli world to go to war. Brought to life organizations like the Palestinian Liberation Army. Brought to life organizations like Hamas. Brought to life organizations like Hezbollah. Anti-Israeli organizations. Don't get it twisted. I'm coming back in just a minute, guys, and I'm going to open this thing up for call-ins. I'll give out my number. And my chat room's open. You got questions, you got comments, you can come in my chat. And when I give you this number, and if you're on my site, you should see this number, but this number is area code 319-527-6060. 319-527-6060. Call me and you go right on the air. Everybody hears what you have to say. Everybody will hear my response. Or pop into the chat, drop a comment, question, historical outburst, whatever. That's my chat is open. I'm going to give you the music, guys. It's call-in time. I call it your time to shine. Thank you.
It's awesome. Just a little.
Yeah.
I just want to come.
Listen to Revolutionary Life. We're in our call-in section. I got my chat room open. You're welcome to call me at 319-527-6060. You're welcome to pop in this chat and drop something in the chat if you like. And so, it's your time to shine. You listen to Revolutionary Life. This is your host, Gary. Tonight we've been talking about what you're seeing going on right now in Jerusalem and Israel. And I want to do this section because I want to, the title of this show tonight is Jerusalem, What's Really Going On? What is really going on? Why are these people always fighting each other back and forth? If you don't know that history, then I understand. You might be curious. You might have questions. The Al-Saad Mosque in Jerusalem is a Muslim mosque. So, the Muslim Christians and the Jews all have a holy place in Jerusalem. This is not about religion. I told you. The Israeli official said on the news that this is not, that this war is about, this conflict is about real estate. It's a real estate dispute, he said. And I'm quoting this guy. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what it is. Now, they could buy the land if they wanted it. If it could be established, a two-state system, a Palestinian state and an Israeli state, that would be a hard border. And if you want some of Palestine, some of the new Palestinian state, I mean, check it out. Check it out. Israel was not in state either. Israel was not a state any more than the Palestinians had a state. Israel was created. It's a gift from the Rothschilds. They owned that place today. They owned it before it became the Israel of the Jews. And it became a Jewish state out of nowhere, boom, out of thin air. And now the concept of a Palestinian state, people holding up on that. Like, we can't just create a state. Yes, you can. You already have. And that's the problem. And that's the solution. Tell you guys a story. I was telling you about the history of the Crusades, and I was telling you about the great Arab warrior who entered those Crusades against Richard the Lionheart and Philip and Germany's Kaiser. But Richard the Lionheart was the last one standing. Everybody else went home. Philip drowned. The Germans got in an argument, and they left. And it was just Richard and his army taking back Jerusalem or fighting against the Arabs. And the Arab leader was the famous Saladin. The story goes, one day they met up in the battlefield. And the Lionheart back then had something called a longsword. This was a battle sword that was damn near as tall as Richard and heavy. But if you learn to swing this long thing, this heavy sword, man, you could split a rock in two. And Saladin, and Richard did just that. When he met Saladin on the battlefield, they walked up to each other. Richard took that big long sword out, that massive sword, lifted that sucker, and cut a rock half in two, bam, just like that. Saladin pulled out his sword, his scimitar, and he threw a silk handkerchief into the air, and he allowed that handkerchief to just settle down on the blade of his sword. And as the handkerchief floated down across the blade of its sword, it split half in two. Saladin had Damascus Steel. The world, most of Europe didn't know what Damascus Steel looked like until Saladin walked in. And so that was that's a crusader story. I got to talk to you guys about these crusades someday. I got to talk to you about the Knights Templar, who were hired, who was sent out by the Pope to help carry out these crusades, the Pope's army, which the Pope later had destroyed. The Knights Templar were part of this holy war struggle. And if you know this history, you'll find out that war is just like I said. It was about real estate. It's about taking gold, taking property, and riches. And Jerusalem was rich at the time, a center of trade and the like. For several religions, it was a pilgrimage place for several religions. So people were coming and going. If you were in control of Jerusalem, man, you made money. And they fought back and forth for who would control Jerusalem. So what you're watching today, as I say, has nothing to do with religion, guys. The age-old process of taking property. And you do that through war, conquest, and enslavement. I still got some time. My lines are open. It's your time to shine, guys.
Thank you.
You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary. I'm your host tonight. Revolutionary Life is here every weekday night, guys, between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday. And tonight, guys, we took the time to deal with what's going on in Israel right now, what's going on in the West Bank and Palestinians and Israelis right now. I mean, I think most people have seen it on the TV. And I just wanted to make sure I did this presentation because for those of us who are trying to keep our fingers on the pulse of what's really going on so we don't get misled and had, sold and told a lie, a Israeli official announced that this was simply a real estate dispute. And I agree wholeheartedly. And I'm saying this because throughout all of these wars for Jerusalem, and guys, look it up. If you don't know, this place has been going back and forth, for centuries. Who controls Jerusalem for centuries, a thousand years? I'm talking 1090 something. The first crusade. But there were six of them. Bloody wars. And many of the soldiers who mounted up to go out on these wars were told they were fighting for a religious reason, a holy war. But just like the man said today, yesterday on the news, the Israeli official, just like the Israeli official said it, this is not about religion. This is about real estate, taking property. If you know that history, and most of the world does, especially world leaders, no one would put their embassy in Jerusalem. It's an open city. Generally, you might put your embassy in the capital city, Tel Aviv. The British embassy is not in Jerusalem. German embassy is not in Jerusalem. Why? Plenty of time. It's been plenty of time. But last administration, our last administration decided And I'm going to tell you why. Well, you can see why. Because of the dispute. Because it was an open city. It was an open city. It was made an open city to stop the war on who controls this place. It was created as an open city. The wars and the disputes over these holy places. Who controls these holy places? So nobody would put their embassy there because it's not considered the capital or anything of Israel. Not really. Bottom line is, of course, is that they have been holding back putting embassies in Israel as a bargaining chip. Every president that has addressed this question have refused to put the embassy in Jerusalem. And they've held it over their heads over there and said, we might do this, but work this problem out first with the Palestinians. Come to some kind of peaceful solution. And we'll put our embassy there. So that used to be held back as a bargaining chip to try to get that dispute to calm down. To work out, to work that situation out. But if you don't work it out, if you don't address it, you have what you have today in Israel. Clashes between the Palestinians again, hot clashes between the Palestinians again and the Israelis. And I told you, and I'll tell you again, many people went to these wars, these holy wars, because the Pope announced it. For them, it was a religious war. So many poor villagers mounted up and went to war, into these holy wars. Because they thought they was doing their religious duty. In fact, they were told and sold on the idea that they were doing something for their religion. Same on the Arab side. The Arabs were taking property, conquering. Arab, Europeans, Asians, Mongolians, the Mongol herds. It was all about taking property. Everybody was taking property and using war. Conquest and enslavement as a process of building their civilizations. And I want you to know, just in case they sell you on something religious about this fight, just in case you decide to line up around this fight, one side or the other, just make sure you're lining up for the right reason. There are those who would like to take all of the West Bank and the Gaza Strip as the historic Israel. Yeah, the historic Israel ran all up the coast of the Mediterranean. But there are those who think it all should be taken for Israel. Now, the creation of Israel gave the Jews a place to be that they could practice in peace and do whatever, live their lives without persecution like they found in Germany in the 40s, 30s, 40s. However, since then, Jerusalem's got a lot bigger somehow than what was allotted to them. The UN has disputed these West Bank settlements, the United Nations. That means that most of Europe, PN leadership, have considered it a bad idea, if you want to call it that, for Israel to expand into the West Bank with these new settlements. They didn't get much support from the rest of the world for this expansion, because the goal was not for you to expand. The goal was to make, give you a place to be. The Palestinians are trying to get a place to be, but nobody wants to give them a homeland or a state the way they created Israel as a state out of nothing, out of what was never a state. The idea is that there would be a hard border. Everybody would know what side they're on. And for religious reasons, Jerusalem would be opened up again. Now, I don't know what you think about that, guys. My lines have been open. I don't know what you think about that. But our last president decided not to hold the embassy over their heads until they got it together over there. Our last president said, oh, yeah, we're going to go down and put our embassy there, whether y'all cook, whether that dispute is squared away or not. Doesn't matter. And so you're seeing the Holy War. All over again, man. This is history you're looking at. That problem has never been solved because nobody's ever solved it. And as long as nobody solves it, you're going to see these conflicts from now on. And you can lock in that to just about every other conflict that didn't, that's not resolved. The racial conflict. People still talking about we need to sit down and talk about this racial issue in America. I literally hear people saying we just haven't had that conversation. Do we really need to have that conversation? You don't know that history. Come on. Until it's resolved, yeah, you're going to have these disputes between races, between nations. And now this is unresolved situation in Israel and in the West Bank and the like. Then that situation is never going to be resolved. And until it's resolved, those clashes are never going to stop. All we're seeing is a problem that hasn't been resolved. If we don't want to see this, we must resolve the problem. If we want to see this, we got our reasons, don't we? We got our reasons. There are those who understand this is about taking land. This is real estate. This is a real estate dispute. And they all in on taking property and expansion, regardless of who's in the way. That ain't their problem. And they'll call you to war. They'll call for your money and your support based on a religious reason. Don't let them come at you with that, because you know better now, don't you? I hope so. We got a little time left, guys, so my lines are open. My chat room is open. Let me hear from you.
Awesome. Alles, was ich kann.